Welcome to everybody. This is the Hour of Truth. And this is Paul Miller with Philip sitting here in the room with me. And we're glad to be with you. We'll be back in just a minute. Well, how about that? The song runs out. It is good to have you with me here, Phil. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah, about that. We're going to look a little bit at Hebrews chapter 13 here today. I thought we'd go over some of that. Got any ideas here, buddy? Anything come to your while you were sitting over there meditating about what we're doing? I see.
Not as this moment.
I see.
Goes, but we'll see what
happens. All right, let's just get into it and see what happens. Oh, boy. Let brotherly love continue. You ought to be reading this.
I'll read it.
There.
Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares.
All right, let's see. The this is about the relationship of the body, the brethren to one another, right? And it is a fellowship of believers, and we want. When we come together, we want the whole body there, right? We want all the pieces of the puzzle functioning as one unit. And I believe it's, what is it, Timothy or Titus were charged to be given to hospitality as ministers, right? He says in verse 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Now, is this like the touched by an angel television show kind of angel, or is it more likely a messenger of God?
More likely a messenger of God. Now, I was reading down in this in the very beginning, and I was going, you know, I've always wanted to know what that meant, so I'm kind of looking at you on this moment.
I believe it's, where are we at here? We're in verse
2.
I believe it's the Greek is the same word for angels and apostles and Yep, that's what it is, same word. And, the context is context in context, what are you more likely to see? When Davy went up to Maryland, he was the one God sent to Ann and Keith, and he was an angel that they were needful of entertaining. He was bringing them the word of God and the word that was going to be healing unto them and open up the gospel. It is, yes, especially to those who are not learned in faith, you don't really know who the Lord may be sending to you and that you need to give ear to. I know that when we first met Davey, we were never really sure what we were going to be getting, but we had heard him on the radio, and I knew that he bore listening to. And, he got our attention.
He got your attention because I didn't hear him on the radio. I just came with you with the ride.
Yeah, well.
For the ride.
And what a ride it was. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them. And them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. If there are those that are suffering, and Gail is typing in the chat Greek. I'm not going to give an attempt to speak the word in the Greek. It's agapelo or some such thing as that. I have a hard enough time massacring the English that I'm trying to work with. Greek is beyond my ability. Let's see. I blew away the entire scripture text here. Let's see where we're at. It says to remember those that are in bonds. There are members of the body, there were members of the body that were getting persecuted here. And they were in prison in some cases and getting ready to stand what would in terminally be an execution. There are those in the world today who are of the body of Christ who are suffering because of their faith. Yet they are as well part of the body. And he's just saying, remember them. You know, they're part of the body. If they're afflicted, then the whole body's afflicted. And that's a part of the brotherly love thing. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed is undefiled. And a contrarian, this is the converse of that, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. In other words, you and your wife and the marriage, God's not going to judge that. Doesn't matter. That's between you and her, the Lord. But whoremongers are male prostitutes that sell their bodies for entertainment purposes for other people. And adulterers are those who obviously have sex outside of marriage. This is going to take forever if I don't get going here. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, conversation is the way you live your life. Be without covetousness. And the rest of this is the opposite of that. Be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What else do you need? We were just looking in Matthew 6 about seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. This is him who will never leave nor forsake you. I mean, how good is that? How much do we deserve that? Right? Yeah, well, we can't read the sign language. You're going to have to talk into the mic.
We don't deserve it.
That's right. And that ought to be a source of great contentment. That this the great amount of provision he has, as we're looking at Peter, he cares for us. Man, let him take all those burdens. All you have to do is what he wants you to do. That's the yoke. It's like the train tracks. The train follows the tracks, right? If it doesn't, there's a major problem. So, where were we on verse 6? So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That's it. If you're running on the rails, then what can anybody do to you? We go back to Romans 8.
What shall separate us from the love?
Yeah, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? What fear? Man, all man can do is hurt me. He can't cast me into hell.
You know,
I'm reading the chat. Oh boy, that's terrible. I'm not going to say that. Go ahead, Philip.
Well, I was looking at this. You know, it says, you know, I'm going to start back at a 5. It says, let your conversation, lifestyle, be without covetous, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, I look at all the situations, and we have many examples of, you have Paul the Apostle, Peter, you have John, we have many examples. We have Stephen, we have Philip the Evangelist. We have many examples of what they lived in that Roman state where nothing shall separate them from the love of God. They were all about doing what the Lord would have them do, and that's it. And you can see where the Lord had delivered them every time. You know, especially Paul at the end of Acts. I mean, he was shipwrecked, on the island, got bit by a viper, and all these things. And all these things were used to glorify the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen the people were bringing him, the people of that island, he was going around praying for the sick, and they were healed. Do you not think that they had gotten what Christ was about? Got the knowledge of who Christ was, you know, and I look at this, and they had a grip on that, and they believed God, and they trusted God, and they believed this.
Yeah.
I will never leave thee or forsake thee. I mean, they had it.
How cool is that?
That's awesome.
And, you know, we're going to see that how good he is. This is actually part of his structure. And if you're part, if you think of the railroad track as being the structure of the path of the train, then his word is the structure of the path of our lives. And as long as we're about his business, we're not going to derail ourselves.
Amen. Because at the end of 6 there, I'm looking at this, and it says...
And it's his way. I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And his way is the way.
Amen. It says, you know, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness.
Right.
His righteousness.
Not yours.
Not ours. You know, I looked at... it says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. You know, what brings me to is to... the place where the children of Israel were at.
Yeah. Contentment.
They were always referred... They were not content with what the Lord done with them.
Right.
Bringing them out in the wilderness to learn God's ways, they were not content with that.
Right.
They were always referring back. They were always referring back to Egypt.
Right.
You know, and there's been many times where I've been in there. I'm in the same boat. I've done many things. But that's not what we're called to walk in. You know, so that covetousness is to actually be casted off of you, to be content with what the Lord has provided for you to do.
When your life is without covetousness, then you're content with what you've got.
Yeah.
And you're thankful for the provision of the Lord, who will never leave nor forsake you.
I know, and you had...
Then you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what dirt bags do to me.
Amen. And you have the testimony where you had Joshua and Caleb out of those camps that were, man, look at this land, look at this promised land. Woo-hoo. The Lord's going to give us. Woohoo, let's go and take it.
Yeah.
And then you had the other spies that said, man, there's giants there. They're going to kill us.
Yeah.
See, they were an example of having that right attitude.
Joshua and Caleb,
yes. That's what I mean. Thanks for pointing that out. I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. And that's the attitude that we need to have, that we need to adopt. I mean, there are examples of that. And you have it with, same with all the apostles also in the books of Acts.
Well, we go to the next verse. and this is the way of the Lord. You may as well hitch yourself to this one, because this is the Lord's way. These are the rails. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So who is it brings the word of the Lord to you?
A lot of people, actually.
But it's upward, right?
Up the chain, yes, sir.
Yeah, those over you.
You, Ricky, Davey, Steve.
Right.
Ordained ministers.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this way has never changed.
No.
Well, the churches sure have.
That might be the case.
So,
but it doesn't make it changed.
Yeah, but that might also be why the church is so not salty anymore.
Absolutely. And you see, this is the way where it says Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever.
Right.
This is the way he set up this aligned authority. That has not changed. You know, and what ends up happening out here, and this is, it's very key to getting in the Word of God. It's very key to be under authority, because you can be reminded of this way. I mean, what you have is the biggest thing that, well, we have here is just the testimony of people, I will never leave thee or forsake thee, so that we may boldly say the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man shall do unto me in his way. I mean, see, we were just talking about that yoke. My burden is light, my yoke is easy. Or vice versa.
Something like that,
yeah,
yes.
But that yoke joins two. You got yoke oxen, you got two. It joins you together.
How you do
that? And yep. That's how you're to be joined with Christ. Now, what ends up happening is we put that yoke off our neck, and we go about our other way. And we separate, and then we have our carnal mind, and we have all these doctrines of the world, and all these things that tell us to justify us in that position.
The next verse.
And that's not correct. Okay, sorry, getting ahead.
Go.
Be not carried about divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein.
Well, this is the diverse and strange doctrines of this idea that you can mold, you can make yourself better serving the Lord by molding yourself back to the dietary laws of the Mosaic Covenant. That's again becomes about what you look like to other people, stuff you can weigh and measure. They're not going to judge you. They're not the ones that are going to judge whether you get the inheritance or not.
And when you do that, you're taking that, and we do it in all different manners, shapes, and forms. And when we do that, that's not seeking after Christ's righteousness. That's seeking your own
righteousness.
And it's hard for the carnal man to understand. Actually, the carnal man can't understand that, is because the gospel is simple. It's about his righteousness, not our own. Right. And it's hard for man to conceive that. So they find all these other ways to make yourself look righteous, or to make yourself good, or to make yourself whatever. Yeah. Presentable. And it's not.
Adding your law back to grace doesn't help you out. It becomes another diversion, another distraction, and then you don't trust in with boldness able to come back to the Lord and proclaim that there's nothing a man can do to me that bothers me. Everything that man does bothers you. Then everything, the way they think, what they're doing, you're pleasing man and not trying to please God, and not seeking him first and his righteousness, and letting him add all the stuff to you that you need. That he knows you need before you ask. How sweet is all that? You'd abandon that when you go back and trust in your own righteousness, which is the law. We have an altar where, right, they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of these beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burnt without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. That's pretty clear. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Outside the camps, where all the people need that need to receive the Lord is out there. That's where the warfare is for the souls of the lost. That's where it is, outside the camp. Inside the camp is supposed to be brotherly love and the place of blessing, and you know, our home, our dwelling place with the body, with the brethren. Outside the camp is where the world is who needs to receive the Lord. Let us go forth, therefore. And interestingly enough, that's where Jesus ended up shedding his blood.
Yes. Well, that's what he's talking about.
So it's available for everybody outside the camp.
Yep.
Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Somehow I ended up reading this. Read 15.
By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
We're talking here about, it was his sacrifice we're talking about here, right? And now he's saying, let us, therefore, unto him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That's it. That's when it's you're talking about sacrifice. Praise is sacrifice. You praise him when it's convenient. You praise him when it's inconvenient. The fruit of our lips. That's loving him with our lips.
You know, I look at this. You know,
with
I look
our
at
speech.
Look at, let us, you know, go forth there, because this all comes together. Let us go for therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Look, we're his body.
Yeah.
You know what Jesus' business was to glorify the Father.
Yeah.
Our business.
And
is
we have come after him, and we are here for him.
Amen.
For his purposes, to glorify the Father.
And to glorify him. And that, you know, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Look, we give him glory.
That's right.
And everything, even when we go out there, we suffer to reproach. Because look, let's face it, guys, if we're going to be his body, and if Jesus suffered, we're going to suffer too. But we're going to be about glorifying him. And guess what? People aren't going to like it, because it goes against their ways.
The Lord will show who he's committed to. He's committed to those who are about his business, right?
Amen.
Let's see. Where do we leave off?
We're at 17. No. We're at 16. You want me to continue?
Yeah.
But do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey them that...
Okay. Well, we're just talking about sacrifices, right? And so now we go to communicate. How is that a sacrifice?
Well, to communicate,
if I'm talking to you, how's that a sacrifice? And if you go back to the Greek word here, is koinonia, koinonia, which is that one
is
given. I heard somebody else say, so, but that's the only reason I handle that. It is translated fellowship or communion or that kind of thing. How is fellowship, communion of the saints, the brotherly love, how is any of that a sacrifice? You're not talking about that. One of the alternative meanings of the word is gift.
That's,
we're talking here about
giving.
Giving to the ministers who bring the word of God to you. It's talking about tithes and offerings.
And offerings.
And it's in the same vein of sacrifice. Because it's the first fruits, a tenth of the first fruits, that tenth of the increase. And if it's going to him, it's not going to you. So that costs you. That's a sacrifice.
You know, this makes me think of earlier today in the scriptures where it says, lay not your treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt.
Right.
But lay your treasures in heaven.
Yeah.
To communicate here and to give gifts in supporting the fellowship and supporting the church or whatever church buildings and the ministries is for the ministry. To further the ministry. To support the ministry. That's the treasure in heaven, you lay up.
Yeah.
That cannot be taken away from
mouth
you.
And dust got corrupt.
It can't corrupt it there. That's in store in heaven for you. You can't, and nothing can take that away from you.
Right.
Look, I got a house full of stuff. Anybody come in there and break in there and steal all the stuff they want.
Right.
But they can't take what I do for the Lord. They can't take that away from me.
Right.
That's where we hold our treasure at.
That's right. Preach on, brother.
Sorry, I'm done now.
You're not supposed to be done. We still have 29 minutes. All right, next verse.
Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you.
Yeah. How about that? Obey them that have the rule over you. And that, again, is the Lord's way. That's the railroad track. That's the path. You stay on the path by getting on the track. And this whole train metaphor that was used in the revivals, actually a good one. Because if you're walking, it's your path, it's your work, it's your direction, it's you're following your own path. You get on the train running on its own path, and it's this in the metaphor is the Lord's path and direction for you. So this is the Lord's way. What does it say back there? He hadn't changed.
Hasn't changed. You know, I look at obey them that have the rule over you. One, there's two things that come in my mind when this happens. One is they're caring for your soul. They're caring for your soul.
That's right.
Which way are you going to go? Look, are we going to, you know, we submit ourselves unto the Lord is what we do. And by getting on that train, we trust that His train is the way.
That's right.
We stop walking with our feet, which the way we know, and we get on the train and we trust that train to take us. In doing that, what do? We submit unto them that have the rule over us.
Right.
One, they watch for your souls. The other is two, when we do, if we do, and I'm being gracious here, you know what I'm saying? When we get to be with the Lord eternity in heaven, and that's like I said, if we get there, how is obedience is a big part of it. It's a huge part. I mean, there was going to be perfect obedience there. It's not going to... For us, we need to learn this now. Good thing we got jobs and we got masters over us and we got our authorities because we're learning obedience unto the Lord.
Right. And it's going to come in real handy to be able to do that later on.
Absolutely. And if we're up there and we say, Lord says, Philip, go do such and such. Oh, I don't feel like it. that's not going to stand very well.
Yeah.
There's going to be that lake of fire, and I could be very much well cast into it, because there will, his kingdom will be set perfectly when you get there. And there won't be the room for disobedience in there.
They must give account, and that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. We don't want to have to be given account of somebody that didn't stand, because that's grievous and not good. Not profitable for you. Go ahead.
Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, and all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner.
All right. Pray for us, because we have rule over you. Right? We trust we have a good conscience. Keep us in prayer so that it stays that way.
Amen.
For your sakes. In all things, willing to live honestly. And have a heart that's upright, not corrupt. And he really wants to do this so that he can see him. Go ahead.
Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let me keep going.
No. The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the ever-loving covenant.
Yep.
He's the shepherd. I'm just a sheepdog, as Davey says of himself. I'm just a sheepdog. No way of over exalting myself. I'm just a furry old dog. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will. You know, in him we can be perfect.
Amen.
Doing his will is evidence. Our hearts after him, we're seeking him and his righteousness. And I go back to that verse. It hadn't changed any. It's the same way. And our confidence is in him to bring us to the inheritance when we're all about his business.
You know, I look at this and it says, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ. That's his righteousness. That's his work,
right,
that he's doing in you.
Right.
And what do? We're just simply submitting to his way, and he's doing the work.
That's right.
In him. And, you know, we have nothing to offer. We just lay down our life and we choose him and submit unto his way. And he does that work. And that's well pleasing in his sight.
No, we trust him to do that.
Yeah, we trust him to do that.
Because we're toast without it. Next verse.
And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I've written a letter unto you in few words. Now know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom if he comes shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen.
Suffer the word of exhortation. That suffer means allow. Take heed to the word of exhortation. Take it to heart. This wasn't a long letter. This is me being brief. And our brother Timothy is set at liberty. As we all know, Timothy was under Paul, and under his authority, and also under his anointing and apostleship. Salute them that have rule over you, and all the saints. Evidently, Timothy may have been in prison, as well as Paul. But salute them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Those same people that watch out for your souls, greet them, salute them, honor them. It's understanding that when that centurion said, you know, just say the word, Lord, and my daughter will be healed, for I am one under authority as you. And I say one to one, go do this, and he goes. All you got to do is say the word, and that sickness can't stay there. And I know that, because I'm under authority as you. I know how it works. That was such an awesome testimony and evidence of his belief. And I want to take us from here to 1 John. And chapter 1.
No dead air, no dead air.
No dead air. No dead air.
Praise God.
And I'm going to read until I get to the verse. Or you're going to read until I get to the verse I want to. So start reading verse 1.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life.
All right, stop. So, we have heard, seen, and handled, and looked upon. This has been substance to us. We know it's real. Who are we?
The apostles that walk with the Lord.
Yeah. And those that have heard their testimony and believed it.
Yeah.
Had partaken of their in fellowship. Well, we're gonna get there. And I
say the apostles that walk with the Lord, but I mean we know, and I'm talking. Paul had the same thing. Paul was taught from the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Right.
So he had that same thing. He's in that category as well.
And we partake of that knowledge through their testimony. Okay, go ahead.
For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. And I want to stop here, Paul. I've seen something in the... It says the weather first here. Where was that, please?
In 1 John. At least it's older.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. I thought you stopped.
Let me handle the chat.
Sorry.
I have enough distractions here. All right. For life was manifested, we've seen it, bear witness, and show unto you the eternal life, which with the Father, and manifested to us. We show you that which was manifested to us. And it's real. We saw it. That's what, it not only, we witnessed it. Go ahead.
That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ.
Interesting. Now what did we just read? I'm not reading the chat. Go ahead. Stop, don't turn around and look at the chat. The fellowship that we have is with the Father. That's John talking, right?
Yes.
That we, these things we write on you, that your joy may be full. Then this is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Our fellowship with the Father is through John and the other apostles. Our fellowship with the Father goes up the chain. Up the chain. And if we come on, we're talking about the light now. Go ahead and read wherever it was I left off. 5.
This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth.
Well, we could go back to John 3 after 17 and following here. And, you know, we don't want our deeds brought to light because our deeds are evil, right? Our fellowship with the Father is when we come to the light, which those that have rule over us, they bring. And our fellowship with the Father is through them, upward. It's just clear as a bell. It's as clear as a bell. And this is just follows from that. Go ahead.
But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
How good is that? If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Our fellowship with one another and his light comes to us when we go to the light, which comes down from our authorities that, up the line. That is where the fellowship starts, and then it manifests itself in the body.
Right, and we can go back, and I'm looking at that, we can go back up to 3. It says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Look, they have the fellowship with the Father. As it says right after that, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. They have fellowship with the Father.
Right.
So if we go have fellowship with them, we have fellowship with the Father and Jesus Christ too.
Absolutely. When you come to the light, as He is in the light, still on 1 John verse 7, 1 John 1, 7, Gail. Let's see. And his blood cleanses us from all sin. That keeps us in fellowship with the Father. Because that all sin. All of it. Sweet. If If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And that's back to we're trying to justify ourselves, right?
Absolutely.
Well, that wasn't my fault.
But you don't understand.
Yeah, but
I don't think he knows what I was talking about.
Yeah.
I've had read these so many times to myself, it's not funny. But what that does is that holds back the grace because we're not coming into light that our deeds may be reproved.
Verse 9.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
How sweet is that? How hard is that? I mean, that's as simple as it gets. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive our sins.
And that is going, Lord, I'm guilty.
You got me dead to rights.
I'm guilty.
And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, how much is that?
All.
And everything BC was unrighteous. Everything WC is unrighteous without Christ. Everything outside of His plan, if it getting off the rails, is unrighteous. And we need to be cleansed from that.
Amen.
So we can have fellowship with the Father. If we confess our sins, He's faithful to us to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's about as great as it comes. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His Word is not in us. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us as a massacre of 1 John. And, you know, the first verse of chapter 2, my little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You know, John's an old man, and all of us were his little children. But he knows how to cut it down to the bare essence. It's unequivocal. You can't. It's cut and dry. It's black and white. There's no gray in here. No shade of gray in here. There is no wiggle room. And the truth is so great. You know, that's why we stand here and we do ministry. That's because the Lord is good, man. How sweet is that? How good is He? Huh?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
He's awesome.
That's right. We have a couple minutes here. Give us a summation, buddy. Give us a talk for a little bit. I've been doing all the talking.
Well, I've been trying, but I just haven't got a good word in edgewise.
You kidding? Tease him.
He's about to kick me right.
I'm not going to drop kick you into the next time zone. Don't worry about it.
No, praise the Lord. You know, I look at this, and the Lord's good.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at this line of authority that He set up, and you look at how awesome He is, and I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, you know, all it takes is for us just to lay everything down and say, Lord, I'm guilty, I'm wrong. And I quit agreeing with my ways, and I'm agreeing with yours.
Absolutely.
And I'm guilty, and forgive me. I want to walk with you. And the Lord's right there.
And He set up the system so we can learn how to be profitable.
Amen.
To be fruitful.
Amen.
To love Him and love one another. And tell people how great He is.
That's what it's about. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
I mean, we go out there, we're talking about going out without the camp. What are we going out there for? To tell them how good and merciful the Lord was to my sorry butt.
So we can come back and tell how awful Walmart was to us?
No.
No.
But that's why we suffer out of the camp. As Christ did.
That's right. That's where he bore his shame and his reproach. That's where we bear his shame and his reproach. And the only people that's going to be shameful too is those that aren't about his business.
Those that don't receive the word, his word.
That aren't on the rails. Those who don't acknowledge that they're apostles today and that the line of authority works flows downward from that. Because that's where his blessings are. That's where we have fellowship with the Father. As James says, the Father of lights. It's all good, man.
And you see...
And he desires to be good.
And you see more on the camp, more with suffering without the camp. And I looked at, I'm looking at Paul the Apostle. When he went out, he suffered from those that did not agree with him.
Right.
They wanted to take him down. They thought it was other blasphemy. They wanted to kill Paul. Yeah. But you know what the joy was for Paul? Was those that heard. Because you've seen as he went across, there still was fellowship set up just about almost every place he went. There were still those that would hear. And it was worth it to him.
Yeah.
It was worth it to him. And
it,
the love...
It privileged him. It was an honor.
It was an honor.
Yeah.
And... There's nothing else that mattered. And nothing separated him from doing that he was called to do there.
Right.
That's being about the Lord's business. And that's what we are called to be.
Yeah.
Let's say, and then, you know, what is John 17 scheme? That they believe me through your word?
Yeah. The word of your testimony.
That's how it's set up.
And you know, if this becomes as clear to you as it becomes as it's become to me, that you know, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me." And His way, if you agree that His way is the way, then this way you can read about in Ephesians 4. This is the setup. He has a line of authority. He has a line of... We're being trained to be the army, the host of God, to come back and wage warfare against Satan and his army. If we can't follow orders, we're toast, man.
We won't stand.
We won't stand. We won't get to the battle. So this is part of his provision for us. We are here to get that right, to learn how to do it. You know, they give me, say, Hour of Truth is on you this week, and I start sweating, just like you with the Sunday morning, right? And I'm sitting there going, I trust the Lord to show up, man. I take this all seriously, but the Lord's good. And if all I have to do is sit here and talk about how good He is, and show it in the Word. You know, we make this stuff up.
Amen. You know,
and this is... He's good. This isn't like, you know, boot camp in the Army, because He's good to us. They feed you and clothe you and then bust your ass. Oops. I didn't say that, did I? Oh, well, no 7-second delay on here either. The Lord, when we're about His business and seeking Him first and His righteousness, He's good to us the whole way along. Yeah, we end up doing some stupid things and our little tailbones get busted once in a while. But that's all about bringing us back to a place where we can be profitable for Him.
Amen.
And we can there again participate in His divine nature and His total provision for those who are about His business. And it just doesn't get any sweeter than that. Let's see. I got like 45 seconds, buddy. So tell us what you think. Or don't.
Well, I just want to say God bless to everybody, and thanks for joining us today. I don't know if you had anything else, Paul.
I didn't, but I'm going to have to. So you're going to have to sit there and talk for a second, because I have to bring that back up to here and do this. Oh, God bless everybody. Thanks for joining me. It's been fun. I hope you got something out of it. I know it was good for us. We shall see you next week.